You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. World Cup soccer fans in Russia have been laughing, crying, and screaming as their favorite teams win or lose. But Russians themselves aren't known for their emotional displays. In fact, in the lead-up to the World Cup, Russian workers actually got training on how to smile at visiting fans, which raises a question. Why? Why do some cultures smile more than others? Masha Gartstein is a professor of psychology and director of advanced programs at Washington State University. She's written about what she calls the smile gap for theconversation.com, and she joins me now. Masha, welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Thanks for having me on the program. Really appreciate it.
Masha, you are from Russia originally, but have been in the U.S. for some time. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. Most of my adult life has now been spent in this country, in the United States.
So then are you an American smiler or a Russian smiler?
You know, that's an excellent question. In fact, this little piece got taken out of our article for Conversation because I have, you know, I'm really acculturated. I went to high school in the United States. I came here when I was almost 13. And so when I go back to Russia, I have to check my American smiling at the airport.
So why do you have to put that smile away when you go to Russia? How would that smiling be viewed by Russians?
Generally not in a positive way. Russians are at best suspicious of people who appear to be smiling for no reason, and at worst are probably thinking that perhaps, you know, there's some intellectual deficits or maybe even mental illness behind this seemingly, unnecessary expression of positive emotionality. So it really is best to keep it in check.
Okay, so not maybe the most positive view of smiling. Why is it that Russians, I guess, where would that negative view of smiling come from, or why would Russians smile less?
Well, there are a number of reasons, you know, and there are scientific reasons and whatnot. But I, you know, one of the things that that my grandfather would always say about it, and he never sort of stopped being mystified by it, even though he ended up living in America for a long time. But you know, his sort of take on it was, you know, that life isn't, you know, life is kind of hard. I mean, especially in Russia, but you know, even in this country, and so smiling for no reason, it's like that really just seems quite unreasonable. You know what, though? I have to say that, you know, it's not a bad thing that we smile. I mean, when I come back from Russia, I enjoy going to my grocery store and having a little conversation with my clerk at checkout, and you know, it is pleasant.
Why do Russians smile less? I mean, I guess it's not just a stereotype. Why would Russians smile less than Americans?
You know, there are, of course, a variety of reasons that we explored in our little piece and in our work more generally. In some of the responses to our article, I had people go in the direction of commercial pressures in the United States. And that's true. You know, there is kind of a more of a historical difference, of course, because now in Russia, things are also pretty capitalistic. But back in the days of USSR, there was, of course, no pressure to provide any kind of customer service because nothing was, you know, consumer driven. That's part of the backdrop. But I also want to make another point that I think is really important. And that is that, of course, we're talking about public displays of emotion, right? And things work very differently with people that you do know, you know, sort of inside the family home or with close friends and colleagues. And there isn't the smiling gap, you know, there isn't this sort of a deficit. And so this is really, we're talking about, you know, sort of how one expresses emotions, you know, in the public context.
So making that distinction clear, when you're in a public context, I mean, one of the first things you said is there's kind of a pressure in the U.S. to display positive emotions. That's just a cultural thing. But why wouldn't there be that pressure in Russian culture?
When people think about cultural distinctions broadly, oftentimes they invoke these cultural orientation dimensions. So things that have to do with individualism and collectivism and kind of acceptance of social hierarchy. And also the other dimension that people often refer to has to do with kind of uncertainty avoidance. And there are differences between, you know, Russia and the United States and other kind of more Western cultures on all of those dimensions that probably play into this.
In what way?
We do represent the most individualistic cultures. And so really, you know, that just means that the priorities are always sort of placed on individuals' goals and fulfilling one's own agenda and sort of personal satisfaction. And, you know, so to that end, I think we pursue interactions inherently differently than somebody who comes from a background where it's sort of the goals of one's immediate group and community that are emphasized. In more individualistic cultures, there's more of an emphasis on, experience of positive emotionality and expression of positive emotionality. And that likely creates a context where, different social rules, social display rules, and the social distance thing really kind of varies, as a function of these very ingrained expectations just about, how sort of generally, I guess, life works.
So what is social distance?
So that really has to do with how clear we are on sort of the other's place, how clear the expectations are for the way in which our social exchange is going to transpire. So cultures where things are sort of more predetermined, where there's less uncertainty, where there's more of an acceptance of the sort of hierarchy or everyone has their place, right? It's a lot clearer exactly how this exchange is going to unfold. And so I inherently feel a lot closer to you, and I have a sense of kind of understanding where you're coming from. And we don't, and so there's a lot more room for kind of just this implicit understanding of what the other person brings to the table as an interactional partner.
And that leads to less smiling, not more smiling.
Less smiling. That's right.
Oh, it seems almost counterintuitive.
Well, because I think that the idea is that when there are more degrees of freedom, which is what we have, right? When things are less predetermined, then you have to negotiate that social distance. Then you have to negotiate that space. And that's where smiling can come into play, right? This is where, and some would say that this is actually kind of a dominance strategy, right? That I'm going to smile at you to sort of put you at ease so that, maybe I'm more successful with my social agenda.
That's a very sinister take on a smile.
Well, one of the things that we talk about, albeit very briefly in our little piece here that we kind of started this conversation with, is that there are different smiles, right? There are these sort of genuine smiles that come from that place of just, that just enjoyment of what's happening. And it it's absolutely just this very natural expression of your inner sort of emotional experience. And then there are smiles that are more sort of voluntarily driven and more orchestrated smiles. And in fact, one of the things that we find when we look at cross-cultural differences in temperament is that smiling is more closely linked to self-regulation in more Western cultures, which of course can have a variety of implications, but one is that it lends itself more readily to this kind of manipulation where, right, it's not just a smile because, wow, I'm experiencing so much joy, but it's a smile to aid regulation, perhaps in order to negotiate a social situation.
So maybe we've kind of had the stereotypes completely upside down, whereas Americans have been thinking that Russians don't smile because they're not as happy. It may, in fact, be that it's those of us who are smiling at strangers all the time who are feeling a little off, and maybe those who don't feel the pressure to smile are just kind of at home with themselves?
Well, I think that people who tend to smile less would really enjoy that interpretation and embrace it. But seriously, perhaps, one of the things that really bothered me when I first came to the U.S., like before I kind of lost my accent and people, didn't know immediately I was from Russia. Like when I first came here, people would always say to me, wow, in pictures of Russian children, they always look sad. And that just kind of irritated me because, it's not untrue. I mean, you can find examples of this. And as I look back to some of our old photos, you could see examples of this. And I just think that, again, it's like it's a display thing. It's like there's not like, say cheese kind of thing. I mean, now there probably is. But, back under the communism when I grew up, that wasn't part of this scenario. And it doesn't. And I would just always kind of felt defensive about that comment. Like, well, that doesn't mean that they're unhappy. Like, I didn't have an unhappy childhood in Russia.
So any word from Russia during the World Cup? Have Russian workers been smiling at visiting fans?
You know, I don't know, but I suspect that they have. Because first of all, you know, I'm certainly not an expert on what's happening in Russia today, but my sense is that there have been a few changes. I mean, that there has been kind of a shift, you know, towards a more Western outlook. And I think that one of the things that's happening in Russia, and this is not a kind of atypical, I think China is similar in some ways, is that you have more of this kind of Westernization in more urban centers, you know. So, in fact, when I talk with people who do cross-cultural work and I tell them that I collect data in Russia, they say things like, I hope you're not getting it in Moscow or St. Petersburg, right? Because those places have become very Westernized. And I'm like, no, my data come from Novosibirsk, where things are still pretty traditional. But, you know, but I suspect that the Russian workers will have done well in terms of being able to show some positive affect here for their guests.
Well, maybe some American soccer fans will come home smiling a little bit less. Marcia Gartstein is a professor of psychology and director of advanced programs at Washington State University. She studies what she calls the smile gap and cultural differences. Marcia, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me on the program. Really appreciate it.